secrets, cover-ups, corruption. You think you know the whole story? Think again. I've been governor, a Navy SEAL, a fighter. I've heard things that'll blow your mind. And now I think it's time you get the whole story.
Now Jesse steps into America's most controversial conspiracy. The attacks of 9/11.
If everything they told us was true, then why would they need to stonewall us?
Was the official 9/11 report a whitewash and cover-up?
These people are lying to us.
Did the terrorists use more than jetliners to do their devastating damage?
There's residues of explosives in the dust.
Is the FBI hiding the flight recorders they say have never been recovered?
The odds of not finding these black boxes are almost zero.
And was Ground Zero a crime scene that Washington obliterated in plain sight?
There's something about 9/11 our government doesn't want us to know.
These are questions that few have dared to ask, let alone investigate.
There was a false flag attack on America by Americans.
The unthinkable. The all too real. The 9/11 conspiracy.
Just cut it off.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Jesse Ventura cares deeply about his country, but no event did more to shake his beliefs than the attacks of September 11, 2001. Now, he leads a raid on the hangar where evidence from Ground Zero is hidden. He's on a mission for the truth.
Get up here! This is what they don't want me to see. With 9/11, some things just never added up for me. Why weren't those jetliners brought down? Why did the buildings go down so quickly? I knew this investigation was going to get some people pretty angry, but I also knew I owed this one to the victims.
Hi.
Governor.
How are you? Donna, nice to meet you.
It all began when I got a call from Donna Marsh O'Connor. She lost her daughter on September the 11th. Vanessa Langer worked in the Trade Center. She was 4 months pregnant. I don't want to bring up a lot of pain.
Please, you know, I want to, like, make this really clear. When you say when 9/11 ended, didn't end for me. It will never end for the country as long as we don't investigate what exactly happened. We never had an investigation. And my kid is a victim of the second plane. Why would I not ask questions? I'm not a scientist. But all I want is for someone to validate the questions and have every American citizen exposed to the questions.
Donna O'Connor made it very clear that she and other 9/11 survivors are not satisfied with the official answers. Uncovering the truth, exposing the lies, will only ease the pain. That was good enough for me.
Donna, thank you.
Bye, Governor. Keep Bye-bye. Working hard. We need you.
The investigation moves to the banks of the Hudson River, under an empty sky where the World Trade Towers once loomed. The governor meets the last man out of the last tower to fall.
You see that peak over there?
Where the round one
yes,
is?
Yes, correct.
Right there was
right
the tower.
Right in front, yes.
Here.
Okay.
William Rodriguez was a maintenance worker at No. 2 World Trade Center. He has a story that not only contradicts the official 9/11 account, but shakes it to its very foundation.
At 8:46, while we're talking in front of the office, we hear, bah! An explosion, very loud. Pushes upwards.
Upwards.
Upwards. All the walls shake. They cracked. The false ceiling fell on top of us. the sprinkler system got activated, water started spewing everywhere, everybody screaming in horror, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Now, was this a result from the plane hitting?
No. This is before the plane hitting time.
This explosion
came from below. But the first thing that I thought it was that it came from the mechanical room that was on the basement number 2. I went to say, you know, it may be when we hear, bah! All the way on the top of the building, and I speculated that it was the plane hitting the tower.
So these two explosions were completely separate?
Completely separate.
The official 9/11 story says hijacked jets brought down the towers, not explosive devices.
If you can remember, how much time would you say was between the two explosions?
6 to 7 seconds difference.
That close.
And I wasn't the only one that felt this. There were the 14 people inside the office.
Did all you people tell this to the 9/11 commission?
I testified for the 9/11 commission behind closed doors.
Why behind closed doors?
Well, my speculation was that they didn't want the story to be out.
How does the last man out get left out of the 9/11 commission report? We've definitely got the makings of a conspiracy.
The governor arrives at his war room, where his elite team of investigators and researchers is at the ready.
He was there the day that the towers were hit. And William swears up and down, this is the intriguing part, that an explosion took place below them about 6 to 8 seconds before anything happened way up above.
Below?
Below.
Why come out now? What's he getting from this?
Come out now. He was brought in front of the 9/11 commission. They took him in a private room. He testified for 30 minutes, and today there's no record of him even being there.
Any chance he's not in the record because his story doesn't check out?
His story contradicts the official story, Alex, pretty severely, doesn't it?
But even if
bombs going off below, well, if you don't want that out to the public, why would you acknowledge William Rodriguez in any way, shape, or form?
To just deny or not even acknowledge that the guy testified? Come on, that's all shady.
And they wouldn't call you to testify unless you had something credible to say.
We're going to check out William Rodriguez. Now get me somebody else.
Okay, we are going to look at Stephen Jones. He's a former physics professor from Brigham Young University. Now, he analyzed dust samples from September 11th and says that he found explosive residue in it.
Really?
As soon as he published his findings, he was forced to leave his post at Brigham Young.
No kidding.
No. So he's effectively fired.
Alex, get on a plane, get up to Salt Lake City, interview Professor Jones, find out anything you can about this.
Got it.
Utah. Investigator Alex Piper meets Professor Stephen Jones, a physicist whose conclusions about 9/11 proved to be highly explosive.
I just within a couple days had angry emails, and particularly from an engineer, identified himself as a consultant with Homeland Security, saying that if I publish this, the pain would be great.
Professor Jones says evidence shows the Twin Towers were brought down by explosives. The first clue was what happened to another building in the Trade Center complex. Number 7 was never hit by a plane, but it collapsed the same way as the ones that were.
The official story for Building 7, the claim is it was due to fire. Well, it just didn't add up. I mean, in terms of the speed and the completeness of the collapse. Explosives, on the other hand, explain it handily. But explosives mean someone had access to this building. We're not talking now about Al-Qaeda. This is a highly secure building. So I did some checking on Building 7.
7 World Trade Center was a 47-story office building. Among its tenants, the Department of Defense, the Secret Service, and the CIA. Not the easiest place to plant a bomb.
You're not going to have Al-Qaeda running in there planting explosives to bring that down in that way. Then we started looking at the dust. We've all seen that dust that produced as the towers came down. Building 7 also produced this enormous dust cloud.
It was in that dust that Professor Jones made the very startling discovery.
There's a residue of explosive in this World Trade Center dust.
the presence of explosive residue was never mentioned in the official report.
So do you believe that there was controlled demolition used not only in World Trade Center 7, but also in buildings 1 and 2 as well?
Yes. Yes, I do. We do have good evidence for the use of explosives. Sure, they were hit by planes. I'm not challenging that. But I'm saying that's not the full story, because there's residues of explosives in the dust.
Professor Jones claims the residue is a substance called superthermite, a combination of powdered iron oxide and aluminum. When ignited, it burns at 2,500 degrees Celsius, much hotter than jet fuel.
It's a liquid when it's wet, and it can actually be painted on. I mean, these guys might actually have thought they were just painting. When you're painting with it, it's safe. It's really quite remarkable stuff. When it dries, it's a high explosive.
The professor has offered one very frightening scenario. But is it a plausible explanation that supports William Rodriguez, who heard the explosions down below? Coming up, the superthermite theory is put to the test. Then, Jesse Ventura heads to Ground Zero in search of that explosive residue.
The main focus going on that day was to get rid of every shred of evidence.
And later, he finds new evidence of a 9/11 cover-up.
You saw the black boxes at some point?
They had found one that I know of, that I actually physically saw.
Jesse Ventura is investigating the 9/11 conspiracy and a claim that the World Trade Towers were brought down by an explosive substance called superthermite.
Sure, they were hit by planes, but I'm saying that's not the full story, because there's residues of explosives in the dust.
People, did we find anybody who can back up Professor Jones's findings?
Yes, we did. We contacted the research lab at New Mexico Tech, and they've agreed to conduct an experiment using superthermite.
Right, this is Van Romero. He's one of their top researchers, and he's going to do the test.
Hello, Governor. My name is Van Romero, and I understand you have some questions about superthermite. Well, let's do an experiment. The first step in the experiment is to make the liquid superthermite. We mix it in with the paint, and then we have our superthermite liquid paint. Once we make the mixture in the lab, we take it out into the field to do the test. Before we apply superthermite to a beam, let's take a beam without superthermite on it and subject it to a fire. 3, 2, 1, fire. As you can see, fire burns and the beam slowly heats up.
The beam burns briefly, but it does not melt.
Now let's paint the superthermite onto the metal beam, subject it to a fire, see what happens. Fire! As we expected, the beam with the thermite is burning much brighter.
Wow.
It's a much hotter fire than we had before. So the temperature is going to rise in this beam more than it would in the beam without the thermite. Does it burn long enough and hot enough so that we have structural failure?
All right. Anybody still got any doubts, Alex?
I do. I mean, listen, it's one thing to say that this thing can be liquefied and used as paint. It's another thing to say that it was used at the World Trade Center site.
Rodriguez told me construction was a daily thing there.
Yeah.
That every floor, when a tenant moved out, construction took place. What happens then? Painting. And painters could be painting this stuff on and not even know it.
Imagine if this stuff was painted on buildings in New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., all over the country. That stuff could be everywhere.
Oh, my word!
After seeing that, there was only one place to go next. I headed to Ground Zero. I didn't expect to find any superthermite, but I also didn't expect to find so many victim survivors still looking for answers.
My name is Manny Badillo.
Hi, Manny.
I lost my uncle on 9/11, Tom Strosser's Troy. I really appreciate what you're doing right now because we need as many people as possible. Knowledge is power. You know, you said that. And what it comes down to is people need to know what happened to you.
What really upset me about this so-called investigation, my son's murder, all these family members, they're murdered.
Right.
And people had said within that commission, we're not here to place blame. Now, just think of yourself as a parent losing a son. And the police commissioner says, we're not here to place blame.
When they said that, my response was, well, then what are you for?
You know, we can talk about these buildings, Tower 7 falling down. Yeah, most people don't even know Tower 7 came down.
I know.
These people are lying to us.
Jesse makes his way closer to the scene of the crime. He's hoping to get into the Ground Zero site, maybe find some remnants of the original steel that he can bring back for testing.
You can walk in there and let me tell you to shut this off.
Yeah.
But the police guard won't let him closer than a view of the new Freedom Tower, built to withstand impacts from above and below.
How did they build this building any different than the first one so that this one don't collapse if it catches on fire, which I don't fully believe?
If you look up from the street level,
yeah,
straight up to about maybe 7 stories high, you see the difference. All of that is steel and concrete encasement, which is different
from the original building.
All these buildings are being built with the same technology, the forced and reinforced steel and concrete structures, normal cement walls, maybe 12 to 18 inches. This is like 3 feet thick.
The new buildings would withstand the heat from jet fuel or super thermite. But the original steel, it was long gone. Most of it shipped out and recycled. This crime scene had been destroyed a long time ago. The end result is this. The government knowingly destroyed all the evidence.
Anything that's because they're covering it up.
Why else? Give me an example of why they would change basic police investigation.
The logic is that people didn't want to have to look at remind themselves of what happened on that day.
I'll give that to you. But then why did it all have to be destroyed? Couldn't they have removed it and taken it to another spot so that then it could be investigated? No. The main focus going on that day was to get rid of every shred of evidence, melt it down, build Navy ships out of it, ship it off to China. Anything they could do with the remains out there, they did it. It would have taken a mere 2 to 3 hours to check their demolition.
The visit to Lower Manhattan does pay off when Jesse Ventura meets a Ground Zero rescue worker. Mike Ballone says he witnessed a 9/11 cover-up, the recovery of the black box flight recorders from the attack jetliners. The 9/11 Commission report says the boxes were never found. Jesse arranges to meet with Ballone away from the scene.
To my knowledge, they've never, ever not been able to find the black boxes before. They're supposedly pretty much indestructible. Now, if they went through the debris to the point where they could find small bone fragments, DNA test it, and match it up to victims, how could they miss these big yellow striped boxes that everyone and their uncle would be looking for?
Jesse and his team arrive at Mike Ballone's home in upstate New York. Ballone was a volunteer at Ground Zero. He did recovery and rescue work for 257 straight days. On one of those days, he says he witnessed something he wasn't supposed to see.
From the very day that 9/11 happened, you were there every day.
Right.
And you were there the day that you saw the black boxes at some point. Was it nighttime that happened?
Yes.
It was nighttime. So at how many days in? Would you have any idea?
I would say the end of September to the beginning of October. Somewhere, literally
3 to 4 weeks after the collapse, the particular night you're there working. And take us through what happened that night, the night of the black boxes.
Nick, who was the other ATV man, the FBI was loading all their telesponders and all their fancy equipment onto the back of his rig.
And these are the things that will locate the black box?
Yes.
These are the type of devices?
The locators. He was to escort these FBI agents into the area so they can look for the boxes. They had found one that I know of. that I actually physically saw. And when he was finished, he came back and told me that they had found two more.
You actually saw one.
I actually physically saw
and
one.
And Nick told you that they found two more for a total of three of the four.
Yes.
Okay.
And the FBI looked pretty happy about it. And that was the last I saw of it.
What was your response when the 9/11 commission that they said that no black boxes were found? Because their official position is that there were no black boxes discovered at the trade centers, none of the four.
And I started getting a lot of phone calls from a lot of different people.
Like?
I had a visit from an FBI agent that said I should discuss the matter, and I asked him why. And he says, well, it's just, it's something that we really shouldn't discuss right now. You really shouldn't talk about it.
You guys know what we saw.
Yeah, we know what we saw. We know what we did.
What would cause Mike Ballone to tell a lie?
I don't think he is lying. I think that that's exactly what happened.
This is why we've got to pursue this. We have to.
Still ahead, have the black boxes really been found?
I said, so how many of these boxes did they actually ever find? And he said, do you want the real answer or the official answer?
Then Jesse Ventura storms the building where the evidence is hidden.
Get up here! This is what they don't want me to see.
And later, he confronts the FBI.
Many times the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Absolutely.
Jesse Ventura's conspiracy team focuses on the flight recorders from the two jetliners that crashed into the World Trade Towers. According to the 9/11 Commission, those black boxes and all the crucial information they held were never recovered. According to Ground Zero volunteer Mike Ballone, the FBI found at least three.
You actually saw one.
I actually physically saw one.
And Nick told you that they found two more for a total of three of the four.
Yes.
Investigator Alex Piper still has his doubts. But Ballone's story leads him to Dale Leopard. Leopard has been a commercial airline pilot for 5 decades, and he's the expert in aviation accident investigation.
So in your 48 years in the industry, have you ever been to a scene or heard of a scene where the black boxes were not recovered?
No, sir, I've not.
Never once?
Never once, no.
Were you surprised when you heard that none of the four black boxes were found from the World Trade Center site?
Yes, I was. I was quite surprised. I mean, it was a big mess there, let's face it, but these things are very distinctive. They're bright orange color, and they're very easy to see.
What are they built of?
Usually steel or titanium. They're practically indestructible. They're designed to withstand the temperature of fuel in an aircraft that's burning is about 1,100 degrees Celsius, which is about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
So the odds of going to an accident scene and not finding these black boxes are
almost zero.
The odds get even slimmer after the governor tracks down Dave Lindorf in the Pennsylvania mountains. Lindorf is a respected, award-winning investigative journalist. He has his own black box story to tell.
I'm talking with one of the people at the NTSA, National Transportation Safety Administration,
right,
which is the place that investigates these boxes. And I said, so how many of these boxes did they actually ever find? And he said, do you want the real answer or the official answer? Of course I want the real answer. And he said, well, then that has to be off the record. I said, fine, so what's the deal? And he said, well, the real answer is we got all four of them, and that they're now in the possession of the FBI, which took them away from us. He said, if you want the official answer, call the public relations office at the NTSA and ask them, which I did, and they said we never got them. And I called the FBI and got the official answer too, which is the answer that they gave to the 9/11 commission, which is that they weren't recovered. They always find the black boxes. They found the TWA one in the middle of the ocean, and here they were finding, fingernail shaving-sized pieces of bone to identify bodies in the World Trade Center, and they didn't find these four, you know, they're this big, these big orange metal boxes,
sure,
painted orange. No, it's not possible.
Look, people, these black boxes were made to withstand nearly anything.
Now you're telling me they can't find them when they went through this debris with a fine-tooth comb, and you're going to tell me that they wouldn't find these black boxes even if they were charred, burnt, and melted? Of course they would.
What are the black boxes going to tell us that we don't already know? The hijackers were in the cockpit, and the planes crashed into the buildings.
Alex, are you kidding me? They tell us everything. They will tell us what the hijackers were saying, who they said it to, were they receiving transmitted instructions from the ground, what language they were speaking in. Might even go as far as to tell us how these lousy pilots were able to fly commercial airlines into the World Trade Center like they were stunt planes.
Where did they stash them?
Well, a lot of the evidence from 9/11 is stored at a hangar at JFK, Hangar 17. We asked permission to go in, and they wouldn't let us in, even without our cameras.
And they wonder why there's conspiracy theories? Let's get on this one, people.
Coming up, Jesse Ventura shifts into combat mode for an assault on Hangar 17.
Unauthorized personnel prohibited beyond this point. Let's see if we all get arrested.
Then, the black box mystery takes a wild turn.
Just cut it off.
And later, shocking accusations about who was behind the 9/11 conspiracy.
It was a false flag attack on America by Americans.
Jesse Ventura's conspiracy team has found enough overlooked and hidden reasons to ask even more questions about the events of 9/11. Now, Jesse is in stealth mode at John F. Kennedy Airport. This is where much of the remaining evidence from Ground Zero is stored. That evidence could hold many answers.
This is the infamous Hangar 17. This is a place where we've contacted on multiple occasions to go inside and see what they have inside this building, because there are remnants from September the 11th in there. I'd like to see him lift that door so we could see what would be beyond that, maybe. No access to that. Get up here! Get up here! This is what they don't want me to see. We've tried to get in this building. We can't even get in it now. The door's locked. You can see girders, obviously from the 9/11 site. Were they tested for super thermite? I doubt it. Look at all that dust. That's where they'd find it. Why won't they give us access to this building? What is the reason for it?
There's no way in. The contents of Hangar 17 remain sealed. But the investigation has only begun.
Oh, my word!
The only way this works is if it's an inside job.
Isn't that what we're investigating here, Alex?
Do I believe that the government would set out to kill over 3,000 of its own citizens and bring down some of its most iconic landmarks? No, I don't. You're telling me that you do?
I don't necessarily believe the government did it, but I will tell you who I think might have. How many people here know what a false flag operation is? You have any idea? Okay, what it is, basically, it's a lie. It's a deception that the government does in which to get the public to believe something so that they can carry out an agenda.
False flag, a covert operation designed to appear it was carried out by another nation or group.
The biggest one I know of is called Operation Northwoods, and in my opinion, it was clear treason. And what it was submitted by the head of the Joint Chiefs that the CIA and military would attack certain U.S. cities, and they would make it look like Cuba did it, thus to justify and get the public behind an invasion of Cuba. Now, this never happened because Kennedy wouldn't do it, but it was still placed on the table in 1961. Now, if you understand that it was on the table in 61, could it not have been on the table in 2001?
False flag operation? While the governor lays out the possibility, Jun Sarpong meets a former U.S. Air Force pilot who claims that's exactly what it was.
Jeff Dahlstrom was a lieutenant during the Vietnam era. He was one of 25 former military officers, including a deputy assistant secretary of defense, who joined forces to challenge the official 9/11 report.
It was a false flag attack on America by Americans, coupled with a stand down. In other words, our military was told not to respond.
What proof is there that this was a false flag?
Prior to 9/11, back in May of that year, was that they changed the rules about hijacking protocols.
Right.
They basically no longer left that in the hands of the military. They had to have a civilian leader, such as Rumsfeld or Cheney or the president, authorize the shoot down of an aircraft in an American airspace.
Right.
So they had already set it up ahead of time. There was 67 other hijackings or intercepts by the U.S. Air Force for the years prior to this, and how could we have four airliners on the very same day flying into buildings in our country and not have the military stop them? The first stage of what the 9/11 attacks did was they created a justification for passing the Patriot Act. And what did that do? That took away at least half of the original Bill of Rights. No question that it was a false flag attack. In other words, that we created this in our own country in order to justify going to war, for the bankers to finance the war, etc.
The missing black box recorders from the 9/11 jets could show whether government forces were involved in the attack. They could resolve the false flag issue. And suddenly, they're back in play. Jesse responds to another call from Mike Ballone. Ballone had said he saw FBI men recover a black box from the ashes. Now he's promising more. People who've heard the black box recordings, they're willing to talk to the governor. Still ahead, Jesse Ventura gets closer to the black box cover-up.
They monitored the phone calls that were coming in from the actual flight.
They know things that are different from the official story.
Yes.
And then he goes mano a mano with the FBI.
Did you do things that had never seen the light of day when you were on the SEAL teams? Of course you did.
Jesse Ventura meets up again with Mike Ballone. The Ground Zero rescue worker has promised to lead the governor to people who've heard the missing 9/11 flight recordings. But the plans hit a snag.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
How's it going, okay?
I'm hanging in there.
So what's happening? I hear we got problems.
Some of my friends from Boston just seem to have a little issue with what we're talking about.
They don't want to participate anymore? They don't want to
talk? They're scared.
They're scared.
They're scared.
Inside the diner, Jesse and his advisor, Michael Braverman, take the situation one step at a time.
Mike, these friends of yours, they all work for the airlines, right?
They were supervisors for Flight 11.
Which is the flight that hit where?
That was the first plane that hit the tower, and they monitored the phone calls that were coming in from the actual flight.
They know things that are different from the official story.
Yes. None of them are with American Airlines anymore. One of them is running for her life because her house is bugged. They bugged her vehicle, her cell phone. She finds bugs wherever she goes. She finds people following her up until this day.
This is happening because they're trying to frighten this person
into not talking
about what they know.
Absolutely. Just like the FBI came to me and said, listen, I don't want you talking about any of this. Black boxes, nothing. Don't talk about it anymore, or you'll have a problem.
You're telling me that they will not talk to us in silhouette? They will not talk to us protected?
No.
If we scramble their voice and scramble their...
They're all on the run.
We came all this way.
You can't make them, Mike.
Why not?
Why not? He can't make them.
Because you'll find them dead.
You know what? Can you cut that for a minute? Just cut it off.
Ballone refuses to allow Jesse Ventura to repeat what he tells him about the black boxes. but the governor wants it all on the record.
Hi, this is Governor Jesse Ventura. Sorry to bother you, but I understand that you canceled talking to us. And my only message to you is this. Remember, the truth will set you free. And you really want to live your whole life with the knowledge you have and not pass it on. We're here for you to talk to you, and we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep seeking the truth because we're not going to let this thing go away. It's not going to disappear. Trust me, the truth will set you free. Thank you.
Back in New York City, the governor and Braverman hook up with Alex Piper. Alex's doubts about Ballone are not what Jesse Ventura wants to hear after a five-hour drive.
Don't you think it's a little shady that Ballone says he has these people, and then when we actually go and fly all the way to Syracuse and to go meet with them, all of a sudden they are in Virginia or they don't want to talk to us?
We got in his face about that.
Ballone told us unequivocally they're in fear of their lives. Why are people hiding? And who would be threatening them? Mike Ballone says he's been threatened. The guy came up and badged him and the whole thing and told him to stop talking about the black boxes. Is Mike telling the truth?
So what do we do now?
I think we go to the Department of Justice. I think we go to the FBI. And I think I walk in and ask them questions.
Job, you're wasting your time. The government says there is no black boxes.
Well, I believe Ballone. And I want to go to the FBI. I want to go wherever we got to go to find out about the black boxes. Take me there.
Coming up, Jesse Ventura confronts the FBI with the 9/11 evidence.
Does the United States government do some things in the dead of night that you did on SEAL teams that we would not want to have discussed? Of course we did.
And then, an astonishing revelation from the black box flight recorders. Does it confirm a government cover-up?
Mike Ballone told us a real mind-blower.
I just want to go on record that this is a really bad idea.
Jesse Ventura was turned away from Ground Zero, denied entrance at Hangar 17, where crucial evidence is under lock and key. Yet he and his team have uncovered real clues to a 9/11 conspiracy, and he refuses to be stonewalled by the FBI.
We've already asked them to sit down with you. They've said no. What do you think? All of a sudden you're just going to walk into the lobby and they're going to say, yeah, come on up.
Maybe face to face. I told you before, it's easy to say no over the phone. It's easy to say no on an email. It's not that easy to say no when someone walks in face to face. I'm going inside.
It's a bad idea.
You can't go in. Well, I'm going in.
The combination of determination and reputation gets results. Jack Clunan is no public relations man. He's an FBI agent, a counterterrorism specialist with the New York Bureau, and he played a key role in the 9/11 investigation.
Why was everything shipped away and destroyed before it could be looked at? They built a ship out of it. I remember Rudy Giuliani bragging 24 hours after the event that they had already gotten 41 truckloads out of there.
The FBI did a meticulous investigation of that crime scene, given its enormity.
Jesse cuts to the chase. He reveals Mike Ballone's claim that he saw a black box being recovered by Clunan's FBI colleagues.
He visibly saw one of them. His partner said they've got two more to give three out of the four black boxes. And we've also talked to an airline investigative specialist who says never in the annals of history have they ever found where they couldn't at least find the black boxes. You guys, everybody at this site went through that debris with such a fine-tooth comb, they were finding bone fragments the size of nail clippings and DNA matching it. Yet we're told the black boxes, for the first time in history, destroyed, gone, never found them. I'm expected to believe that. Do you believe that?
Do you think that the FBI could possibly look in the faces of victims, families, and say, we're not going to share this information with you?
Then where are they?
I don't know where they are.
First time in history.
So what? So first time is a first.
Well, there are so many firsts at 9/11.
There's a first time.
First time a steel structured building fell from fire alone. First time. There's so many firsts here.
That's your point of view. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, we'd find the boxes.
I'm asking you to not close your mind to this and to listen to what I'm saying. There is no reason for the FBI to lie to you or anybody else in this country about what took place on the morning of 9/11.
Many times the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Absolutely.
And that goes on all the time.
Listen, does the United States government on occasion shade things to protect sources and methods? Of course they do. Do they do some things in the dead of night that you did on SEAL teams that we would not want to have discussed? Of course we did. And did you do things that have never seen the light of day when you were on the SEAL teams? Of course you did. That's what I'm here to tell you.
Okay, and you've told me.
Another question is answered when Mike Vallone has a change of heart. He allows the governor to go on the record with the shocking revelations about the 9/11 black box flight recorders.
Mike Vallone told us a real mind blower. He said the airline people said the hijackers were in the cockpit of American Airlines while it was still on the runway, before it even took off.
What? Vallone says that somebody on the ground knew hijacker was in the cockpit, and somebody else on the ground let that plane take off.
Whatever the reasons they let the plane take off, I think we now know why they don't want to discover the black boxes. The black boxes would reveal if the hijackers were speaking English. And if the government knew they were at the controls before the jetliners took off, we'd know they'd have had even more time to scramble fighter jets to intercept them. They didn't. And who'd gain from that? Every government official we talk to refers us back to the 9/11 report. Well, I've read the 9/11 report, and there's nothing in it that talks about the explosion below that William Rodriguez told us about. There's nothing in the 9/11 report that talks about the thermite discovered in the dust that Professor Jones told us about. And it certainly doesn't explain why our air defense was in a stand-down mode while all hell was breaking loose in our airspace. And finally, where are the eyewitness testimonies? People like Mike Vallone, who swear they found the black boxes at Ground Zero. And where are those black boxes now? Are they being hidden because they might tell us that the hijackers were in the cockpit of American Airlines before it even took off? These are the facts as we found them. But I'm more convinced than ever that the real story of 9/11 is lying in some government vault somewhere. I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.